Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this third Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we kind of start to march through the Gospel readings. And, of course, you know, we're just a couple of months away from the Easter season. You know, the Easter season will start. But I want us to think about all of these seasons, the seasons in our lives. Right? And the church kind of lays that out for us in a certain way too, you know, but ordinary time doesn't mean that, you know, it's ordinary. Even though I guess into January, you know, in the midst of winter, the cold, it can kind of seem that way. Things seem kind of ordinary or boring. But even as you look out at the trees and you see the trees and you see the ice and you see these things, there is life still there, my brothers and sisters. And so we have to consider that, even in our own lives. You know, we may think of, maybe things are becoming a little ho-hum. Maybe we haven't been to Mass since Christmas, right? And we're starting to wonder, you know, what's going on? Or we started an exercise program and we've given up, you know? Who knows? But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if it doesn't include prayer, any mission that we're on, any adventure that we're on, that does not include prayer, does not include God, it may not work out. And it's certainly not going to work out as great as it could if you're calling on the power of the universe, right? You're calling on the power of the universe. God, who made the heavens and the earth, who made you and I. And so I want you to think about that, if you've prayed about that. So if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. Also, holyfamilyradio.net. You can go there, and we archive all of our Epiphany radio programs there. And they also have a list of Catholic radio programs and programming that goes on here in Southwest Michigan. So we're really glad you're with us here today as we start these readings, and our first readings, and actually there's some long readings, so Old Testament reading from Nehemiah. And so we're going to start with that. That's our first reading today, is Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, 2 through 4, 5 through 6, and then 8 through 10. Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men and women and those children old enough to understand. Standing on one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midnight, till midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. As he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it that so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allotted portions to to all those who had nothing prepared. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 through 30. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of the one Spirit. Now the body is not a singular part, but many. If a foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. Or if any ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it does not for this whole reason belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not need you," nor the head to the feet, "I do not need you." Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with great propriety, whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to the part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all parts share in its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individual parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance and administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Two long readings. How about that? It's pretty amazing. And then our gospel reading is kind of a medium-sized reading. It's also very good. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 1 through 4, and also chapter 4, 14 through 21. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word, have handed them down to us. I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to the custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read was handed the scroll by the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings here today. And I just wanted to grab my Bible here to go over this passage that was in our gospel reading today. And of course, I forgot to get that out earlier, so just take me a minute just to get this scripture reading here. But I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, in case you're just joining us, should mention that too. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. And there was a looking at these scripture passages, it was quite amazing how it kind of pinpointed in on this one passage in 1 Corinthians. And of course, you know, I hear that first reading, you know, the standing up and the sitting down and the kneeling down. Of course, they prostrated themselves, they laid down flat, and this worship, you know, and I heard someone say that, I'd heard a preacher say that was the two forms of worship, is standing and kneeling, standing and laying down flat. But kneeling has also been very common throughout history, you know, giving your right knee, of course, to God, the left knee to an earthly king or queen, right? So I wanted to go to this 1 Corinthians, though, because it's quite fascinating how many of the readings within, or how many of the scripture readings in the catechism focus in on 1 Corinthians 12:13. So I wanted to go to that really quickly just to because that's going to be our teaching for today. See, we don't make up what teaching we're going to have. God does. Okay, we read these prescribed scripture readings that the church lays out for us every single year. And this is what we have to work with as priests and deacons and bishops. This is what we're told to preach by the church every year. You know, I may want to, you know, preach about ice fishing, or I may want to preach about, you know, how to be good to your neighbor, or I want to preach about the poor or this or that. No. I need to preach what the church is telling me to preach this weekend. This season of course, ordinary time now, but there are still very many, there are things that we have to discipline ourselves. And that's one thing the Catholic Church does, is it disciplines us. We don't get to do whatever we want to do. We don't get to say, well, I think this and I think that. You know, it's kind of like this, you know, well, the body's no good. You know, We're all one, see? We're all one. And God wants us to all be under this one roof, wants us to be in this one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It's been that way since the beginning. But discussions and divisions and tough times and arguments have been since the beginning. Look at Peter and Paul, right? They had arguments. They disagreed about things. But they didn't walk away from the church, see? They didn't walk away. And you know, sometimes it's times for us to accept things. But this one part in 1 Corinthians, so the main thing is about our first reading, there is no on this from Nehemiah chapter 8, there's really no, in the catechism, there's really no direct teaching on this piece of scripture, okay? But we can ascertain by this is worship, this form of worship, right? This prostrating themselves, bowing down before God, standing. What do we do in the Catholic Church? We stand when we listen to the gospel. When the gospel is preached, proclaimed by either the deacon or the priest, we stand and listen to the word. See? We stand and listen to the word. When we say prayers, very important that we stand. When we profess our faith, we stand. Right? And then the final word is, you know, the sending out is, you know, do not be sorrowful. Do not be sorrowful. And do not be saddened by this day. For rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. So what does that tell us, my brothers and sisters? Let go of the world. Let go of the world. You know, Pope Benedict has put it quite beautifully. Pope Benedict Emeritus. Quite beautifully. You know, that we have to, even though it's, we live in the greatest country in the world, I don't think there's any doubt about that, the United States of America. God bless America. But my brothers and sisters, we are all to stand before Christ first. Jesus Christ. God must be our ultimate model. Because even our country is run by men and women, run by human beings. God is God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Whether you're from Germany, or whether you're from Afghanistan, or whether you're from China, God must be the one. And that last line, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. And that's where your strength must come from. Not from people, not from your kids, not from your bank account, not from your job, not from your husband or your wife, but from God. Only God can give that kind of support. And that's why faith is so important. That's why going to Mass is so important. Okay, so let's go to our second reading. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and my main parish is St. John Bosco in Mattawan, and also St. Margaret Mary's in Marcellus. And you can reach me through St. John Bosco's or through the radio station, the local radio station. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, this is an outreach of the Catholic Church. To tell us and tell all of you, you know, if you haven't baptized your children, get them baptized. If you haven't been baptized yourself, get baptized. You know, if you're thinking about divorce, do not get divorced. See? No. Do not get divorced. Try to work it out. Even if that means separating for a period of time, right? Do not get divorced. You know, I know sometimes it's necessary, okay? I always talk about that. Sometimes it's necessary. You know, if you fear for your life, that type of thing, I understand that. But my brothers and sisters, I have seen it over the period of time. I'm 59 years old now, soon to be 60. And I'll tell you what, I've never seen it really work out that well, okay? Except in cases where a severe abuse is happening. But try to work it out. Try to work it out. And some of this is about this. You know, sometimes the husband thinks that the wife is supposed to be like him and the wife thinks the husband is supposed to be like her. It doesn't work that way. You're a team. You're different. One may be the quarterback. One may be the wide receiver. One may be the running back. One may be a tackle. One may be a blocker. See? Different parts of the body. Different parts of the team. And it will go a long ways for us to help us to accept other people in our lives. That other people are different than us. I mean, if they're rude and hard to stay around and they cuss and swear all the time, okay, I understand. Don't hang around them. Don't hang around them. But if they're just different, so what? So what? You know, stop being so critical. You know, the criticism and the sarcasm and all this garbage that we pick up day in and day out, we need to look at ourselves. Some of it's fun, you know, kid around once in a while. But some of it's not fun. Some of it's very bad. And it's constant on the TV. So I want to look at this 1 Corinthians. We just have about 10 minutes left of our program. 10 minutes left. Just 10 minutes. So 1 Corinthians 12:13. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different teachings. All on that one verse. And that one verse is this. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free persons, and we were given to drink of the one spirit. See? One body, many parts. Let me read that one more time. For in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. Baptized into the one body of Christ. No matter our nationality, whether we were Jews or Greeks, whether we are slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of the one spirit. You know, it's amazing. You think about it, read that, all of that scripture, right? And let me just run these down really quickly here. We are baptized into one spirit and we drink of one spirit. Baptism and Eucharist, Holy Communion, that drinking of the spirit, that eating of the spirit, Holy Communion. The blood of Christ that we receive, the sacrament of the Eucharist, and the holy body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. We are really sharing the Lord in communion with each other. Through the sacraments, there is growth and there is healing. Through the Holy Spirit, baptism is a bath that purifies, justifies, and sanctifies. Wow, you hear that? Through the Holy Spirit, baptism is a bath that purifies, justifies, and sanctifies. Baptism incorporates us into the church. From the baptismal font is born the one people of God of the New Testament, which transcends all the natural and human limits of nations, cultures, races, sexes. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. You think about that. Take my sexuality away. Take my country away. Take my who I am as a person away. My social standing, take that away. And enter into the body of Christ. It gives a whole new meaning of how we treat one another. A whole new meaning of how we look at one another. With our eyes. See? With our minds. See? We may think, well, I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican, or I'm an Independent, or I'm for this guy, this guy. Do you believe in God? Truly? And is Jesus Christ your Lord? Or is the current person who's in the White House your Lord? Is that your Lord? Or the person who's in Lansing? That's your Lord? That's your boss? That's what your life depends on? It's not good. You must believe in the true God. True God. And in Jesus Christ. As we read this mystical body of Christ, who, when we receive the Eucharist and have a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the gospel goes on. We just have a few more minutes left. Anointed by the Holy Spirit at once as king, prophet, priest. This is the fulfillment of all prophecy. Proclamation of the good news from Isaiah. The inauguration. The preaching to the poor. And not just the poor, money poor. But the preaching of the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit in the sense that we have no belief. Our faith is so low, right? Our faith is so low. It is a sign of Christ's presence. When the good news is preached to the poor, and poor of all kinds, the liturgical year, a year of the Lord's favor, a year full of brilliance. And then there's this one part with anointing, 695, that I read not too long ago. But I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you have not been baptized, get baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Trinitarian baptism. And so this is quite amazing here. Anointing. The symbolism of anointing with the oil signifies the Holy Spirit to the point of becoming a synonym of the Holy Spirit in the Christian initiation. Anointing is the sacramental sign of confirmation called chrismation. In the Church of the East, it is the full force that can be grasped only in relation to the primary anointing accomplished by the Holy Spirit, that of Jesus Christ. Messiah means the one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. This is a Catholic outreach of the Catholic Church here in southwestern Michigan. Come to Mass. Come back to Mass. Pray for the Church. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for people all over the world. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those people who are undergoing great trials and catastrophes. People of other faiths and denominations. People who don't go to church at all. People who are atheists or agnostic. People who do not know God at all. People who do not know the freedom of Jesus Christ and the freedom that baptism brings and the grace that the sacraments bring. Pray, my brothers and sisters. If you could do anything for this world, pray. Pray, pray, pray. How we need it so much. In these days when human life seems so small. 40 million babies last year, my brothers and sisters, we destroyed in this world. Over 40 million. It's the great tragedy. It's the great Holocaust of our day. It's very terrible. We need to pray. Pray, my brothers and sisters. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.